He sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Psalm 107 verse 20. The message you're about to hear is a straightforward, down-to-earth and insightful teaching by Lady Reverend Adelaide Heward Mills. Lady Reverend Adelaide serves under her husband, Bishop Dag Heward Mills, as a pastor at the Lighthouse Chapel International. Lady Reverend Adelaide is a handmaiden of God and is privileged to have been used by God to pastor and to speak the word of God, both nationally and internationally, to all ages and gender. She has a plethora of messages on many issues, experiences, and situations of life from God's perspective. Get ready to be transformed as you listen to this message by God's anointed handmaiden, Lady Reverend Adelaide Heward Mills.
Shall we share a word of prayer? Father, thank you so much for this privilege of having a conference we can call our own, called First Fire. We thank you for the first fire of the Holy Spirit that burns in the hearts of your young people. I pray this afternoon, Lord, that the word of God will be glorified in our lives. I pray that the word of God will fall on good soil. I pray that the word of God will not be forgotten. And I pray that the word of God will stay in us and with us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for all your help. Thank you for the anointing that anoints me this afternoon for your children. Thank you for answered prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may take your seat. Turn to the person next to you and say, stay alive. It's first fire. Amen. I thank God for the privilege to be here. And I thank the bishop for his vision. Amen. In establishing first fire. And I want to thank God for all the pastors, our pastors, and all our teachers who help us to be at this conference. Amen. Say to the person next to you, fasten your seatbelt. God is going to surprise you pleasantly. How many of you are hungry? Don't worry, you will soon eat. Man shall not live by bread alone. You like eating by wache, eating by jollof, eating by rice. It's good, but you don't live by bread alone. Amen, somebody. You live by the word of God. This afternoon, I want to speak to you about the sweet influences of the Holy Spirit. The sweet influences of the Holy Spirit. Amen, somebody. When you say that something influences you, it means that it has an effect on you. So when we read our Bibles, let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. Are you there? As the person next to you, do you know your notebook more than you know the Bible? As the person, do you know your notebook more than you know the Bible? Then you are in trouble. Because when Satan knocks on your door, it is not your notes that will save you. It is the word of God. It's good to study, but the word of God is the first book. Say it with energy in your life. Amen. Are we there? Matthew 13, verse 33. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Amen. Leaven, another word for leaven could be yeast. Some of you don't know how to cook, but yeast is something that is put in flour with water, with salt, with margarine to knead bread. I know because when I was a young lady, before I got married, and I was in school, my mother used to run a bakery. And when I came on holidays, she would put me in charge of the bakery. It was a lot of hard work. So we will put all the ingredients together and knead it in a machine. Then after that, we would bring it and put it in the desired form. And then we will put it in the pans for baking. But then we would do that in the evenings. So when I was going away, my house was far away from the bakery. I would take 1 tin of unbaked bread with me because I was taught to do so. And I would put it by my bedside. In those days, we had no mobile phones to be using an alarm to wake us up. So from time to time, I would wake up. Why? To see whether the bread had risen. Because the yeast is put in the bread so that it will not be hard and dry and heavy, but so that it will have that fluff and that lightness, which makes bread very nice. So I would look at the tin, and then when the bread has come up almost a bit above the top of the tin, then I would know that it's time to proceed to the bakery. And usually it would be around 4:30 a.m., 5 a.m. And I would get up, have a bath, have my quiet time, and then start for the bakery. Whenever I got there, the fact that the one I took home had risen meant that her brothers and sisters in the bakery had also risen. And Jesus is saying that the kingdom of God is like leaving. It is something that you may not behold with the eyes because it's been mixed in the bread, but you see the effect because it makes the bread rise. And he is saying that his kingdom is like that. And so it is in our lives. There are different things that influence us, but we may not see them. Like the yeast in the bread, it has mixed with every area of your life. But when we see the signs, we see what is in the bread or what has been at work in the bread. In the same way, when we see certain signs in your life and my life, we see that something has been going on. So when we say the sweet influence of the Holy Spirit, influence is often a quiet thing, but it doesn't mean it's not powerful. Influence is something that maybe you see after a while, but it doesn't mean that it's not there. So Jesus is telling us that the kingdom of God is like yeast. In the same way, the Holy Spirit in our lives is like yeast. As you walk with God, you see the effects of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a ghost. The Holy Spirit is not Frankenstein. The Holy Spirit is not a spirit that just comes, woo, then the wind will be blowing, then the curtains will be going to one side. Oh, there goes the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God Himself. And that spirit belongs only to people who know God. The Holy Spirit is not the only spirit at work in this life. There are many other spirits that are at work. The Bible talks about an evil spirit coming to trouble Saul. So that shows you that not all spirits are good. Amen? But the Holy Spirit is a good spirit. Turn to the person next to you and say, do you have the Holy Spirit or you have another spirit? Ask the person, when was the last time you checked? Amen. Well, so the Bible tells us that there are different things that work in us. Amen. Turn your Bibles to James chapter 3, verse 15. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life, he doesn't come as excess baggage. When you are traveling, it used to be when Ghanaians are traveling, they are going to America, their relatives will call them, bring me Nkuto. Do you know Nkuto? Bring me Kondo. Bring me yam. Bring me plantain. Bring me coconut. Bring me fish, dry fish. So when you travel with the Ghanaians and then you get to America, one day I was standing, there's something called a carousel, where all your luggage goes round. One day, God will let that come to Ghana so that we will also be developed. Amen. But there's a round thing going round like that, and your luggage is on it. And I saw a man with a big Ghana must go. And then the Ghana must go got torn, and I saw cocoyam coming out, condo coming out, palm oil coming out. But before we even got to our destination, when you get to the airport, they weigh your things. So they weighed everybody's suitcase must be at least 23 kilos and not more than that. But when they weighed this man's own, they said, you have 23 kilos, two suitcases, each 23 kilos, and still your things are heavy and beyond the weight. What did they tell the man? They said, you have excess baggage, which means that your things have exceeded your limit and now it's very heavy. And then when we got to JFK also, his things were coming out of the bag. So the customs people called him, sir, would you please step aside, please? I was very happy that even though I was Ghanaian, I wasn't carrying such excess baggage. The Holy Spirit does not come in our lives as excess baggage. Something that you are carrying in your life and then something extra that is overweight, that is walking with you. That is not it. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives as God Himself and the presence of God Himself. And that is the difference between a Christian and somebody who does not know God. Amen. Now, many people make New Year resolutions. How many of you, 31st night, when you are praying, say, God, I will not lie again. I will not steal from mommy again. God, I will not go to those internet sites again. I will not forget my quiet time again. But we forget to ask the Holy Spirit to help us. So we are just like unbelievers who are also making New Year resolutions. Some of them say, I will not drink anymore. I will not follow girls anymore. I will not do this anymore. But by 1st January, they are back. Because they are not conscious and they do not call on the Holy Spirit, who is a person on his own and by himself, who comes to live in us. Amen? So the Holy Spirit is in every believer's life, but he must be allowed to influence us in a very sweet way. Amen, somebody. Now, from the verse that we read, the Bible says that in James 3, verse 15, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Amen. If you are a spiritual person, you will be led by the Holy Spirit. If you are not a spiritual person, you will be earthly, sensual, and devilish. You can be either of this. So there are four influences on everybody's life. You can be earthly because you live as if this earth is the only place you know. That there's no judgment seat, there's no hell, there's no heaven, there's no God who is looking at your affairs. God is not looking at your affairs with a big cane that I want to cane her whenever she does evil. No. God is looking at your affairs and wishing that you will walk in his ways so that it will be well with you. Amen, somebody. But some people are earthly because everything is on earth. So, in future, I want to be an engineer. From there, I'll migrate to America. At the age of this, I will marry. At the age of this, I will do this. But in all your ambition and your aim, there's no God. There's nothing spiritual. Your whole aim is to have those Nike shoes, those wild clothes. Say, I liked what the people who opened First Fire were wearing. So I'm also going to make a T-shirt, F-I-R-E. It's okay to have a vision like that. But let me ask you, do you have any spiritual vision in your life? Do you have any spiritual desires or aspirations in your life? It's time to be a spiritual person and to walk as a spiritual person and not to be just earthly. Amen. Then the Bible also says in James 3:15, some are also sensual. Lady Reverend, what does sensual mean? Sensual means that you are led by your five senses. What are the five senses in this life? Taste, sight, smell, touch, and hearing. The five senses. To see, to smell, to hear, to taste, and to feel. Those are the five senses. So when the Bible says some people are sensual, you are led only by the five senses. Although you have the Holy Spirit living in you, everything is what I taste. When we say we are fasting, you are moved by your senses. Your tongue must have something to eat by all means. When we say, be careful what you watch, your eyes are watching things on the internet that only you and God and Satan know about. You are moved by your senses. Sometimes you are moved by your sight, that when you see a nice thing, whether you can afford it, whether it's for you or not for you, you must steal it and you must want it. And if somebody has it and you don't have it, because of what your eyes have seen, you are not happy. That is somebody who is led by sight. Some of you are also led by your ears. Any foolish music you hear, then you are going. Any music, then you are break dancing. You are doing all sorts of things because you are moved by what you hear. When you hear, this is the latest fashion, whether the Holy Spirit is happy or not, is not your lookout. Your lookout is what you are hearing. When they say, this is the popular spot, let's go there. This is everything you hear in the world. That's what you follow. Some of us are also moved by touch. Lady Reverend, when the boy touched me, I could not. Lady Reverend, I could not. You are led by touch. And some of us are led by our noses. Anything you smell, you will follow. But it's time to be spiritual instead of sensual. Amen. Esau was led by his senses. He was a firstborn. The Bible says when you are a firstborn, you are separated from the womb. You are sanctified by God. There are certain things that should come to you. But when he came from the field, he said, "Chale, chale, chale, Jacob, I'm hungry." And Jacob said, "Really? You are hungry?" He said, "Yes, give me some of the porridge you are making." But Jacob knew that Esau was a special person. So Jacob said, "Okay, if you want some of my porridge, if you want some of my porridge, I will give you, you will give me your birthright." I think that it's even Esau who suggested it. And then Jacob said, "Okay, you give me your birthright, I give you porridge." And because Esau was led by his stomach, hunger, how he felt, his senses, and not by the Spirit of God or the Word of God, he just said, "What is it to be a child of God? What is it to be a firstborn as God has ordained? What is it, the spiritual inheritance I have? All those things don't matter to me. Just give me some Hausa cocoa with kose. It is more important to me. Just give me some Milo and some bread. Just give me some fufu and soup. Just give me fried rice with chicken. Just give me some pizza. It's more important to me than God choosing me to be his child. So you take the birthright, I will take the porridge." These are the people who are sensual. You are led by your senses and how you feel. And then there are people who are also led by the devil. Amen? A lot of things he suggests to you, you do. The devil will continue to suggest things to us. The Bible says that Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Luke chapter 4. Let's go there. He was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Amen. Luke chapter 4. We'll read verse 1 and then verses 13 to 14. Ask your neighbor, "Are you in Luke? You know all the cartoons. Do you know the book of Luke?" Ask your neighbor, "Are you afraid of him or her?" The Bible says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." Verse 13. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Okay, let's read verse 3. "And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Amen. If the devil spoke to Jesus, the devil will speak to you and I. Amen, somebody? If the devil spoke to Jesus, he will suggest a lot of things to you. When Jesus had fasted for 40 days, Satan came and said to him, "If you are really the Son of God, then these stones that are in the wilderness, change them into bread." Why? Because he was testing Jesus to see if he is led by his senses. If it were Esau, he would have said, "Give me the bread, Satan. I don't care about anything else." But Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall not live by jollof alone. Man shall not live by sobolo alone. Man shall not live by brookina alone. Man shall not live by chicken alone, but by the word of God. Amen. So if you are a spiritual person, you also have a spiritual stomach. And that spiritual stomach is filled with the word of God. Your spirit man eats the word of God. It doesn't eat other things. It doesn't eat fried rice. And Jesus knew that. So we are not supposed to be led by the earthly, sensual, by your senses, and then devilish by the devil. But we can choose to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen. And I am praying that the sweet influence of the Holy Spirit will be your portion this afternoon. Amen, somebody. Now, when you are under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you are led by the Holy Spirit. And the power of these three things to lead you is broken. Amen, somebody. So we don't have to be ruled by our senses and by our feelings. Lady Reverend, who therefore is a spiritual person? Or how does the Holy Spirit come to be a part of us? Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. If you don't know the book of Romans, look in the index of your Bible. And if you didn't bring your Bible, you are living by bread alone. You are living by fried rice alone. And it's time to live by the word of God. Amen, somebody. How does the Holy Spirit come to live in us? Romans 8. Are you there? We are reading from verse 5. I will entreat you, you know, those who were at the recent camps, you learned about the books of the Bible, knowing the books of the Bible. And it is my prayer that you will continue. Reading from verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. What does it mean? Some people are chasing everything. From Xbox, is it still Xbox or there's something else? Xbox. Oh, Daddy, buy me an Xbox. Daddy, buy me this. Daddy, will you get me an iPad? When I grow up, I'll buy this kind of phone. By the time you buy it, it has even gone out of circulation and manufacturing. But that is what you want. So you mind only the things of the flesh. But the Bible says if you are spiritual, then you mind the things of the Spirit. So they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, that means that you have been born again, you are a spiritual person, the Holy Spirit lives in you, and if you allow the Spirit, then you will mind the things of the Spirit. How come when you get to school, you forget that you are even born again? How come when you are on social media, you forget that you are a child of God? How come when you are tweeting, nothing about God comes up? Because you are of the flesh. And you are born again, all right. But you have not allowed the Holy Spirit to sweetly influence you. Amen. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So the character of somebody who is led by the Holy Spirit, number one, she follows spiritual things. He or she follows spiritual things. Number two, she is spiritually minded, or he is spiritually minded. Amen. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Amen? So the way you think also shows whether you are being sweetly influenced by the Holy Spirit. When I went to university and I went to a friend's room, and the friend said, oh, this is my new friend that I've found, or I know. His name is Brother Dag. So I said, hello, Brother Dag. And then my friend said, so this is Sister Adelaide, and Sister Adelaide, this is Brother Dag. She introduced Brother Dag to me first. So when I said, oh, nice to meet you, then he said, nice to meet you. I'm born again. I'm born of the Spirit. Demons tremble when they see me. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm bound to go to heaven. The Lord is my portion. Hello, sister. It's nice to meet you. And I was very bored. Although I was a Christian, I was not that spiritually minded. I said, hello too. It means you should give me 5-line essays. You are born again, and so what? You are going to heaven, and so what? Demons tremble, and so what? The name of Jesus is your portion, and so what? But I was not as spiritually minded. And some of you are like that. And when you are not spiritually minded, and somebody else is spiritually minded, say, oh, he did bore. He did do something too much. Because you are carnally minded. May you be delivered from carnal mindedness. Amen. A carnally minded person, like I said, everything is carnal, means the flesh. So everything is just this life, you know. You just come to church. But after church, there's no spiritual mindedness. That, oh God, let me wake up and fellowship with you this morning. Oh God, what is your will? As I'm choosing different things to do in this life, what is your will for my life? And God, as I'm choosing to go to this university, what work will I do in your house? What work will I do in your vineyard? How can I make a difference? How can I live there and be a triumphant Christian? Nothing like that is on your radar. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Amen. So the trait of somebody who is filled with the Spirit and is being influenced by the Holy Spirit is that you are not carnally minded, but that you are spiritually minded. Verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Mercy. How many of you want to please God? How many of you know that we physically have flesh? But the Bible is saying the people who are in the flesh cannot please God. You cannot. Not even that you will try. You cannot. What does it mean by those that are in the flesh? Those that are in the flesh are those whose spirits are dead. When your spirit is dead, you are not born again. When your spirit is dead, you don't know God. And sometimes you are born again, but you never grew spiritually. So you are so in the flesh. And the Bible says, if you are in the flesh, you cannot, not that will not, but cannot please God. Amen. So another trait is that if you are not filled by the Holy Spirit, you cannot please God. And then Paul says in verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not. Paul is saying that, yes, some people cannot please God, but because they are in the flesh. But you are not like that, because you are in the Spirit. Lady Reverend, how do you come into the Spirit? By giving your life to Jesus. By giving your life to Jesus. By giving your life to Jesus. For those of you who have been coming for First Fire, I keep telling you, I gave my life to Christ at the age of 9. Because my saved teacher led me to Christ. If I had died at the age of 8, I may have gone to hell. Because at the age of 8, I was old and mature enough to know what good and bad was, and to know whether to accept Christ or not. So when I gave my life to Christ, my dead spirit, which I inherited from Adam, falling in the Garden of Eden, came alive. I received a spirit of adoption from God. Amen. So when you are not born again, you don't have the Spirit of Christ. Amen. Verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that what? That we are the children of God. When you are a child of God, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you. When you are a child of God, your dead spirit is revived. When you are a child of God, the Holy Spirit, who is actually the Spirit of God, comes to live in you and I. And that is why people need to know the Lord. People need to be born again. People in your school, people in your class, those strangers you've been chatting with on Instagram and on Twitter and on all those places, they need to have a spirit that is alive. The Bible says God has adopted us as his children. And so as soon as you get born again, you may not hear it with your ear, but there's a spirit that's crying out to God, I've found my Father. I've found my Father. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Your spirit begins to scream out to God and has a relationship with God. But if you are not born again, no spirit. No spirit cries out to God. So that is our first interaction with the Holy Spirit. Write the verse down. Romans 8, verse 15 and 16, I believe. That we have not received the spirit of fear, of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry. When it says we cry, it means the hidden man in you, the spirit, it cries, Abba, Father. What is it that makes your spirit able to cry? The spirit of adoption. What is that spirit of adoption? The spirit of the Holy Spirit. When you are adopted, you are added to the family of God. You are added to the children of God. And that's what happens when we become born again. The Holy Spirit comes to live in us. But will we allow the Holy Spirit to have its way in our lives? When the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, how do we know? It's by faith. When you give your life to Christ, you don't see that he's stepping into your heart with his shoes. You don't see that. But by faith in the realm of the Spirit, God comes to live in us. Now, if God comes to live in you, what are the signs that God has come to live in you? How will you know? What are some of the things the Holy Spirit will do so that you see that God has come to live in you? What are some of the things the Holy Spirit will do? Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 onwards. When the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, he will bear fruit in your life. The Holy Spirit will bear a fruit and fruits. In fact, it's a fruit, but with many parts in your life. But before you get there, there's something called the works of the flesh. Amen? Every spirit that lives in you does some work. So if you have a spirit, an evil spirit, it will lead you to fornicate. If you have no business at a certain age discussing sexual things. You say, mommy, we are just discussing. Not that we would discuss holy topics. You are not mature enough to know so many things. Sex is God's idea. Sex was created by God. It is a good thing, but it has to be done at the right age and in the right way. So don't learn about it from the wayside. Learn about it from the house of God. Amen. And nobody is hiding anything from you. So those funny sites you have been going to and thinking, oh, my parents won't tell me this, but I can learn from here. It is the works of the flesh. Amen. And the Bible is saying, when you are just a flesh-dominated Christian, the works of the flesh are manifest. It means they show. Which are these? Adultery. When you marry and you have another partner. Fornication. It's a work of the flesh. Uncleanness. You say, oh, Lady Reverend, as for me, I don't fornicate, but I go to some websites. Lady Reverend, I don't fornicate, but I do certain things in my private moments. It's called uncleanness. And the Bible says they are the works of the flesh. Lasciviousness. Lady Reverend, what does this big word mean? Please give us NASB. Lasciviousness means when you do everything excessively. Everything to do with the flesh, you do it excessively. You always go over and above. Okay? Immorality, impurity. Anybody who is not led by the Spirit of God is impure in your thoughts. Impure in your deeds. Impure in your speech. Shows that you are dominated by the flesh. Sensual. The next verse. Idolatry. The works of the flesh. You have an idol. Some of us, we grew up with idols in our homes. One of our pastors was given a testimony. He's a doctor today. He said, I am so surprised that I'm born again. Because when I was growing up, every 3 a.m., my father would take off all his clothes and wear a red cloth. And then he will call on the gods. My father took me to the shrine 2 times. But somebody told me about Jesus. And I got born again. Some of us have idolatrous backgrounds. Some people say they believe in God, but they do the other side too. They say white magic and black magic. Which one is that? They are all works of the flesh. Some of you may not have gods in your house, but your God is television. You love television more than you love the Word of God. You love television more than you love anything that is useful. And it has taken such a hold on you. You love the internet. It has become an idol. As a person next to you, is the internet your idol? Is the phone your idol? Is Instagram your idol? Is Snapchat your idol? Is Twitter your idol? Is Facebook your idol? Is Flickr your idol? The works of the flesh. Sorcery, which means witchcraft. Enmity. Strife, that means quarreling. Jealousy. Outbursts of anger. Some of you, your body is like this, but your anger is like this. When your parents correct you, the type of anger that comes out of you, we are surprised at how young you are. disputes, dissensions, factions, as you bring division, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, beach parties, nightclub, unholy joints, carousing, and things like these. So they didn't mention my sin. And things like these. Some sins are cousins. Just as I have warned you, forewarned you, that those who practice such things may not. Is that what the Bible says? Those who practice such things may not. Perhaps, maybe, supposing, will not inherit the kingdom of God. I didn't write the Bible. It is God speaking to us. The next verse. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Oh, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Oh, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit. May you bear fruit in the Holy Spirit. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. What is wrong? Love is so beautiful. God is so beautiful. So when the Holy Spirit comes to live in us, it begins to bear fruit. The fruit of the Spirit of God is love. Lady Reverend, what does love mean? Love means forgiveness. Love means kindness. Love means not being bitter. How come you say you are born again? You are very busy in the choir. In fact, you lead praise and worship. But as soon as you come down from the stage, hey, who took my bag from here? You have told you that I don't like those. I won't talk to you again. Hey, I thought you were jumping. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit is absent in your life. There's no love. When your big brother, your junior brother knocks you, you will also knock him back. I am not saying you should be a fool, but exhibit love. And let's see that the fruit of the Spirit is alive in your life. If we had the fruit of the Spirit, there would be no examination malpractice. Because the Holy Spirit is living in us and we will allow Him to manifest. But we all say we are Christians. But when it comes to real life, the fruit, that tree of the Holy Spirit, there is not even one groundnut on it. The fruit of the Spirit is love. What touches me is that everything God asks us to do, He gives us strength for. In fact, He even supplies it. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. LPBM, please give me a cue when it's time. Romans chapter 5. We'll come back to Galatians. But Romans chapter 5, verse 5. What does it say? What does it say? Shall we read together from King James? Romans 5, verse 5. What does it say? By who? By who? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by our pumping. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by New Year resolution. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by our connections. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So if you are not walking in love, or there's no love in your life, perhaps the Holy Spirit is not being allowed to manifest Himself fully. Amen. And I am not talking about the love that you think is love. When you meet that boy and then you get butterflies and then you and your friends will be talking. Do you like him? I like him. Hey, The Bible says when a man has found a wife, not when a wife has found a husband. Amen? So the girls, learn it. The man should be interested in you first, not you first. Amen? Every day you are giving the boy scholarship and they are snubbing you. Why? Huh? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So even before you will fall in love, or you will walk in love, not for, you will walk in love, God comes in the form of the Holy Spirit, and then he pours love into your heart. He pours love. Says, you need to love, but I'm not relying on your resources. I am giving you the ability to love. So he just pours it in. And as you use it, he just pours in and pours in. So don't tell me, Lady Reverend, I can't love her. Lady Reverend, I can't forgive my stepmother. Lady Reverend, I can't forgive my father for not looking after me. Lady Reverend, I can't let this issue go. You can. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Amen, somebody. How come there's no godly character in our churches? How come since you got born again, there's no change in your life? Because you have allowed the flesh to dominate you. But with the sweet influences of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit will come alive. The next fruit is peace. Peace. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. How come you are born again and there's no peace in your life? You are born again, you are always troubled. You are born again, you are always anxious. You are born again, you can't rest in the peace of God. How can that be? But Jesus said, my peace, not the peace of this world. You see, the world also has its peace. But when the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, it gives you a certain kind of peace. Amen. John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. There's no peace in the world. When you put on television, don't you see? Yesterday, people are in a shopping mall in Germany, in Munich, and then a gunman just starts to shoot them. Children have gone to McDonald's to eat a hamburger, whatever. He's just in there and he shoots them. People are on a beach in Ivory Coast and Al-Shabaab or whatever they are, ISIS, just shoots them. People are on a train in Germany and they are just shot. People are in France eating in a restaurant, attending a concert, they are just shot. Why? Because the world cannot give peace. Meanwhile, we have many peace organizations, which you learn in social. We have OAU, we have the UN, all trying to bring peace. But the fruit of the Spirit is peace. It's peace. Many Christians are not experiencing the abundance of walking with God. Many Christians are not experiencing the fruit of the Spirit, because what God gives you is His peace. Some of you come from very troubled homes. Things are not working. But as a Christian, your peace is in Christ. Your peace is in God. Your peace is not in circumstances. Your peace is not in what happens around you. Your peace is in God. When I was growing up as a Christian, I was taught this song. I'm not moved by what I see. Hallelujah. I'm not moved by what I see. Hallelujah. I'm not moved by what I hear. Hallelujah. I'm not moved by what I hear. Hallelujah. I'm not moved by what I feel. Hallelujah. I'm not moved by what I feel. Hallelujah. I'm not moved by circumstances. Hallelujah. I'm not moved by circumstances. Hallelujah. Oh, but I am moved by the word of God. Hallelujah. I'm only moved by the word of God. We have become like the world. How come when your fees cannot be paid, you feel that everything is over and you even question your walk with God? There's a certain peace that comes from the Holy Spirit that is not dependent on what you are feeling. It's not dependent on what you are going through. It's dependent on God. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives. The world gives peace when everything is okay. Isn't it? The world gives peace when your school fees can be paid, daddy is okay, mommy is okay. Maybe mommy falls sick and your peace is destroyed. Or mommy and daddy fall apart and your peace is destroyed. But as a child of God, it's not that it will not affect you, but your peace is found in the Holy Spirit. Many years ago, when I was young, maybe I was about 9 or 10, my father was a very wealthy man in Takoradi. And he used to run a lot of big trucks carrying timber and different things. He had a fleet of more than 50 articulator trucks. And then one day, every time I saw my father go to court, I noticed, because he always looked very smart in his black suit going to court. Then one day, I remember very well, my grandmother was plaiting my hair in the evening. I didn't know much about the Holy Spirit and being led by the Holy Spirit, but I felt a certain uneasiness, which as a child, I didn't really understand. Then my uncle came and said to my grandmother that, oh, today, daddy is not coming back. My grandmother said, why? My uncle said, because the case didn't go well. And he has been put in jail. As a child, my whole world came crashing down. I didn't really know what it meant, but I knew that it meant the absence of my father. A lot of things in my home changed. I saw my mother lose so much weight. But my Sunday school teacher encouraged me, and he told me, pray, learn to seek God, learn to give God every problem, and God would take care of it. So even though all these things were happening, a certain supernatural peace came my way. That's why I say that I don't regret knowing God at a very tender age. At a point, when I would walk in the streets of Takoradi, there would be rumors. Some people said, oh, they are going to sell all his houses to defray the cost. People said all sorts of things. And even on one occasion, I was going with my big sister, just walking in town, and then somebody made a statement. I burst out crying because I just didn't know what was going on and how life was going to be. But I tell you, I experienced the peace of God, which passes all understanding. The case went on for some time. And then one day I came from school, and I saw my father had a long American car called a Pontiac. I saw the Pontiac had been draped in white. They were putting white powder. What had happened? My dad had been acquitted and discharged from prison. And when that happened, and he came home, before this incident, my father went to church, but he never led our morning devotion. And all that I remember, I was even telling my mother last week, was the grandiose parties they used to have with waiters in white, you know, crisp uniform, coming from Atlantic Hotel and serving, and a live band, always blowing time. But when my father came back, he started to wake up us at dawn and said, "We are having morning devotion." Then he would start to sing, "The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him." My father came as a changed man. And all those many parties and carousings and things went down. And he led us always, every morning, in the word and in worship. When the Bible says, "My peace, my peace, my peace, I give unto you, not as the world giveth." Learn to solve your problems in a spiritual way. What does Philippians 4:6 say? It says that, "Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything, whether big, small, medium, extra small, extra large problems. Don't worry about anything, but in everything," not in some things, "by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to your mother, be made known to your father, be made known to that rich man, be made known to your uncle, be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." The Holy Spirit gives you peace so that you can have an intimate relationship with God. The Holy Spirit gives you peace so that your life will not be in disarray. The Holy Spirit gives you peace so that you can carry the peace to a troubled world. I don't even like to listen to the news. The whole world is troubled. When I look at Ghana, doom saw this, the issues. When you look abroad, Brexit, this, that. You can't find your peace in what works around you. Look at last year, BC, social council, writing again. Is that peace? It cannot be. But he gives us peace that only he can give you. Amen. Peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long suffering. If the Holy Spirit is in you, you will learn to suffer. And not only to suffer, but to suffer long. How come you cannot suffer when you go to school and people say, "Oh, you are that thing. As for you, you speak about Jesus. As for you, go to that church. As for you, you are then." You can't take it. Say, "I better go back. I better become like everybody. I can't pay this price. It's too uncomfortable. It's too difficult." But when the Holy Spirit bears his fruit in you, it will bear the fruit of long, everybody say long suffering, not long enjoyment, not long enjoyment, but long suffering. There are times in your walk with God, you have to allow the fruit of long suffering to be in your life. Hey, Reverend, What does it mean to suffer long? To suffer long means to suffer long. The Bible says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. You are not crucified by him, but with him. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave his life to me. Every Christian has a cross to carry. Every Christian has a cross to die on. And if you are not dying to something, then I question your Christianity. When I became born again in secondary school, it was a minority that was born again, not the majority. Some of you, you always want to be liked. You always want people to praise you. You always want to go with the flow. It's going to cost you your walk with God. Long suffering. Look at Joseph. Do you think it was easy? At the age of 17, you haven't asked God for a dream. He brings you a dream. And in the dream, you see the sun, moon, and stars are bowing to you. Then in another dream, you see that some eaves or sheaves of corn are bowing to you. Just after the dream, your brothers put you in, they capture you, they tear off your golden garment, your colored garments, and they put you in a pit. And then some slave dealers are passing by, and your own brothers sell you to the slave dealers. The slave dealers are not even Jews, they are Midianites. They take you. You end up in Egypt. In Egypt, as if it's not enough, you end up being a houseboy in somebody's house. You who were your father's favorite. You who were pampered. You who never knew any lack. Suddenly, you are a domestic staff in somebody's house. But in the midst of it, God still takes care of you. The Bible says God was with Joseph and everything went well with him. Then Potiphar's wife started to give him scholarship. Now, Joseph, I like you. When my husband is not there, let's sleep together. And Joseph said, no, I can't sin against God. And when he refused, the story turned against him. And Potiphar's wife told her husband that, can't you see that Joseph doesn't have his coat anymore? It's because he was trying to do bad things with me. And then now he has been caught. Look at his coat. It's with me. Joseph seemed to have been getting into trouble with many coats that he wore. But God gave him another coat at the right time. Amen. Then after that, he goes to prison. And in prison, he even interprets other people's dreams, but his dream is not interpreted. And then he tells the man, the butler, remember me. The butler is released for 2 years. He does not remember Joseph. In the end, the king has a dream. And then the butler remembers, there's a guy in prison who interpreted my dream. Maybe he can help you. Then they go and call Joseph. Some of you, by the time you reach Potiphar's wife's house, you would have given up your faith in your walk with God. You would have said, it's too much. Already my coat of many colors has been taken. I've been estranged from my father and from all familiar territory. I'm in a strange land. I've been sold to slaves. Then, as if it's not enough, God sends me to Potiphar's house. Then I'm falsely accused. After being falsely accused, I get to prison. When I look at the trend of my life, things are not getting better. They are rather getting worse. So it's time to quit. But the fruit of the Spirit is long suffering. You suffer not to sleep with that girl. You suffer not to go to that internet site. You suffer not to have that funny friend of yours in your life. You like him, you like her, but God says, that's not the kind of friend I want you to have. You suffer to stay up to pray. You suffer to fast. You suffer sometimes to read the word of God. You suffer to cut your sleep short and come to church. You suffer to say no to a crowd that you would generally like to move with. You suffer not to watch certain movies. You suffer not to stay so long on social media. It's a price to pay. And the fruit of the Spirit is long suffering. if you have not suffered or you are not prepared to suffer for your faith, something is wrong with you. Other religions are paying a price they shouldn't pay. And Christians are paying no price. If the Holy Spirit is sweetly influencing you, long suffering will be in your life. Amen. I talked about love. I talked about peace. What about joy? What about joy? Joy is something that the Holy Spirit, you don't have to do anything about it. It's just a fruit that the Holy Spirit brings about in our lives. Joy means you will be happy. People say that happiness depends on happenings, but joy is supernatural. Joy is when things are not even okay and you are really okay. Not just peaceful, but you are even happy. You are bubbling with some joy. It's a fruit that the Holy Spirit puts in your life. Even when you are being persecuted, you are happy. Amen. And joy is a fruit of the Spirit. But some of you, your joy is only when you are doing something worldly. Your joy is only when things that excite unbelievers also excite you. Amen? Acts chapter 5, verse 40. Acts 5, verse 40. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and done what? And beaten them, grown-up men with children. They were beaten with canes. When they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The next verse. And they departed from the presence of the council. Doing what? Rejoicing. When you are beaten for the sake of the gospel, how can you rejoice except it is the work of the Holy Spirit? The Bible says, and when they were let go, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Ah, God, you wanted somebody to use to suffer shame for you and you chose me. I'm excited about it. That is why it is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is not fleshly. It does not make sense, humanly speaking. But you can rejoice because joy is a fruit of the Spirit. But all these things are absent from our lives. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. Gentleness. The Bible says, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but must be gentle. How come when your parents talk to you, mommy, I didn't do it. Hey, keep calm and allow the fruit of the Holy Spirit to come up in you. That even if you are denying something, you will do it in gentleness. Amen. Oh, mommy, that's not how it went. Actually, when you went out and Kojo came and then I told him to do this, he didn't do it. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. Some of you, you need to learn gentleness before you marry because your temper tantrums and the way you are is worrying. And, you know, a woman's spirit affects the spirit in the home. If the spirit is turbulent, it is a woman who calms it often. So if you are always stoking the fires, every time your home is a war zone, it will affect your children also. Amen. And I thank God that he starts to teach us these things when we are young. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. As a person next to you, can you be gentle at all? Is everything a war? Amen. Yes, God may have two sides. Sometimes God is a lion, but he is also a lamb. And the Bible says, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Can you give us NASB? Can you give us NASB? It's still love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Kindness. Are you kind? It's because of you many people are not born again, because you are just like them. There's nothing different from you. There's no influence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Kindness. You have got kindness. If when your brother says, can you bring me a glass of water? You think I'm your servant? Do you think I'm your servant? I teach my children, I say, when your brother or your sister asks you for something, don't think immediately that the person is cheating you about something. Kindness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. When you see somebody upset in school, crying, you go and say, oh, don't cry. You're upset about the marks you got in math, you see. Don't be upset. I think that you must go to the teacher and find out where you went wrong. Or wait for when we are doing corrections. And then when you see what went wrong, I am sure that you can correct it. Can I pray with you so that God will help you? But you are not kind. You say, she was last. In the church, you have made yourself. When somebody wears funny clothes, you say, well, why is she wearing that skirt? Kindness. Where is it? The fruit of the Spirit is kindness. And kindness begins from home. Your little sister is crying, but you're on the phone with your foolish friends. Hey, yeah. So will you do that hairstyle? Yes, I will. Oh, so nothing. There's nothing kind about you. But the fruit of the Spirit is kindness means somebody's matter matters to you. Where is it in the church of God? Where is kindness? Ask your friend. I can't see kindness coming from you. Why? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Patience is the same as long-suffering. Do you know that? Patience and long-suffering are the same. Come back to King James. Kindness. Goodness. Usually when you are kind, you'll be gentle. Isn't it? Usually when you are kind, you'll be gentle. And when you are not kind, you'll be some way. And it's not enough to just come to church actively. You join the dancing group. You join the choir. It's all good. But it does not show the fruits of the Spirit. It's the works of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is what we are talking about today. Goodness. Do you do good to anybody? Everything is about you. When you go and buy something, you will never share with anybody. But when people have, they should share with you. There are some people like that. What is mine is mine. What is yours, we share. That's your slogan for this life. But a Christian produces goodness. You are good. When there are issues in school, you are good. You are a good boy. You are a good girl. You are a good child. You are a good child of God. Goodness. There's no good in your life. Only bad things you do. Only bad things. Only bad things. But from this meeting, the influence, the sweet influence of the Holy Spirit is going to bear that fruit in your life. Amen. Faith. Romans 1 verse 17. Faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Faith is a way of life. Faith is not, I belong to the Anglican faith, the Catholic faith, the Methodist faith, and the Lighthouse faith. No, that's not what we are talking about. We are talking about believing in God even when you can't see. That's faith. And the Bible is saying the just are those who have been justified by God. They shall live by faith, not during Hamatan, not during Christmas, not during long vac, but every day of their lives, they live by faith. And if you don't live by faith as a Christian, you are not going to walk far with God, because you hear all sorts of things. Faith in God's word. Faith in God, because God and his word are one. Amen? Some of you say, oh, Lady Reverend, do you know something? The world is now very multicultural, multilingual, and multi, what else? So, you know, Lady Reverend, it's not good to say that gay marriage is not good. I didn't write the Bible. And I didn't come and say, oh, gay marriage is not good. It's God who said, cursed be he who practices such things. So faith is believing what God says and having the same values as God. How come you don't have any values like God? You don't. God has this value. Your values are different. When God says, flee youthful lust, you are embracing youthful lust. And then the just shall live by faith. Faith in God's word. Sometimes when you walk by faith, it's a lonely walk. And then long suffering will come in to help you. Sometimes when you walk by faith, you are ostracized because you believe God's word, that it is God's word. The just shall live by faith. It's not everything you see. When Bishop started this church, he had to walk by faith. Because when he started, he had only 5 members. But he had to walk by faith that God called me, God is faithful, and God and his word are greater than what I'm experiencing. Sometimes a lot of the students from nursing training were in the church. So whenever there was vacation, there's nobody in the church during vacation. And you as a pastor of the church, you still have to go. When you go, however many people are there, you preach the word of God as if the place is full. What are you doing? You are living by faith. When I got married, my husband said he was going to serve God full time. And my parents used to give me money to live, so I didn't used to depend on my salary. But suddenly, when I said, this is the church I'm going to, I'm getting married to the pastor in this church, all the taps were closed. Everything was closed. And they said, go to a more dignified church and we will give you money. But if you go to this your church that meets in a canteen and has no name. My father-in-law asked me, what's the name of your church? Is it Searchlight, Torchlight, or Osuno? But faith made Bishop see the hand of God, made Bishop believe that God has spoken and that we had to stick to that road. Faith. The fruit of the Spirit is faith. Another verse says faithfulness. Faith and faithfulness are related. Amen. So he stayed faithful to God's call. He stayed faithful. Sometimes a church will be sacked and it will meet on the Kolebu maternity ward car park. Sometimes even that will not be forthcoming. We'll go and meet on Indatfa Park. And yet he said God had called him. But things were not looking like somebody whom God had called. But today, when he says God called him, you will believe it. Because you have seen the fruits of God's faithfulness. The just shall live by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. A Christian does not live by what he sees. A Christian does not only live by his circumstances. A Christian lives by faith in God's word. You may be in a place, everybody is an unbeliever. You may be in a place, everybody is doing all sorts of things. But if you are a child of God, you will walk by faith. Amen. When I was growing up, I got to uni after SHS. My friend that I had grown up with from nursery, through primary, through secondary school, up to university, changed so much. I didn't recognize her. Every time I met her in the university, she had one boy or another. She had changed so much. I couldn't relate to the change that had come. And she seemed to be having a good time. She'll go for parties. This guy will come with a nice car, drop her, do this, provide her with this, provide her with that. What kept me going? Faith, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, made me believe in God's word and made me say, you know, people may seem to be having fun. People may make their choices, but I have decided to follow Jesus and nothing is going to turn me back. Not because I was a superwoman, but because I took advantage of the grace of God. Faith kept us going. And when that happened and we got married, but not in the usual grand way we should have gotten married. Why? Because my faith was costing me something. My faith in God cost me. Bishop's faith in God cost him. And so we moved into a one-bedroom flat. But thank God, it didn't even occur to me that there's no space. Why am I living here now? It didn't occur to me. I think it was purely the fruit of the Spirit. I was very happy and very okay. I didn't think, what will the future hold? When I have children, what school will they go to? No, faith kept us going. And the just shall live by faith. You too. What does the faith in your life do? What does the faith produce? The three Hebrew boys who were thrown in the fire by the king, they said, our God will deliver us, O King Nebuchadnezzar. But even if he doesn't, we will not bow to you. There's another level of faith. One is when you believe that God will deliver you. But when he doesn't, will your faith still last? The fruit of the Spirit is faith. The sweet influences of the Holy Spirit will bring all these about in our lives. And it is my prayer. You see, the Bible says when they saw Peter and John and they saw that they were ignorant and uneducated men, they took note of them that they had been with Jesus. How come you've been with Jesus? You've been in this church for so long. We cannot say, oh, when we saw you, we saw Jesus. Oh, when we saw you, we saw Christ. When we saw you, we knew that you were a different breed. We are not seeing that. But from this meeting, the sweet influence of the Holy Spirit is being stirred up in your life. And you are going to bear the fruits of the Spirit. Stand to your feet, please. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Help me worship. I wanna be more like you, Jesus.
I wanna be a vessel you are through.
It was great having you today. To find out more about the resources available by Adelaide Heward Mills, please visit the Vision Bookshop at the Kodesh, North Kaneshi, or meet her on Facebook at Reverend Mrs. Adelaide Heward Mills. For prayer and counseling, please call 0243 187900. You can also drop us an email at honeyonmylips@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Until next time, God richly bless you.